Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
I am MTG Peddler.
This is Onik.
And this week, we got some special guests with us. They are nominated for an award, which is for their website, and they are the creators of the Curiosity format. I'd like to welcome Nathaniel and Zach. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Oh, thank you. What I'm so happy because like you, like us being nominated, award nominated, this podcast is also award nominated. And it just feels great to finally be with people on our level.
I always love meeting people that are like the women I like have very low standards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
that's how I see our award winning program. I'm like, yep.
Yeah. It's a, I mean, the way we think about it really is just, we were just blessed to be on it, you know, to get to the finals is just like, wow, that's unbelievable, right? There's no chance we're going to win anything. I think we already won just by, you know, having JJ put it out there that, hey, these guys exist. You know,
we're definitely going to win. Yeah, like, hands down, no easy dubs. We've looked at the competition and
everything else is trash.
I've been unable to sleep. I've been laughing so much. At their websites. Our website just so golden.
It's CuriosityMTG.com. It's the best magic website ever built. And if anyone else has anything to say about that, they can come fight us.
It's funny because I'm nominated outside the podcast as an individual creator. And I'm like, clearly they've never seen my content if they think this is award winning.
That's correct. Peddler, which is a co-host for the podcast, right, is nominated for New Content Creator of the Year.
Clearly, they've never watched my show.
And you just got to manifest that win.
Yeah,
you got to manifest it in the world.
Like that movie, The Secret? You just got to use power of suggestion, right?
It's actually kind of funny. John like mentioned it like 2 weeks ago again for the first time in a while, and I actually forgot about it. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot all about that.
Sponsored by North Valley Games, where you can go to northvalleygames.com. And you can save 10% by using the promo code on your whole order, TCC2021. Also, the program where they're buying back your singles, and they'll give you an extra 10% cash on your whole order. Partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group Facebook group and Cosmic Gaming Community. Starting us off this week.
Yes, this week we have page one is going to be card of the week. And this week we are talking about Fast Bond. And I am currently looking out the alpha version. One green for an enchantment. You may put as many land cards into play as you want each turn. Fast Bond does one damage to you for every land beyond the first that you play in a single turn. With beautiful Mark Poole artwork. What do you guys think of Fast Bond?
I feel like this is the rule that I played with when I first played Magic. You just dump your lands into play.
How much is it currently going for, by the way, price-wise?
Near Mint is $4,100 for the alpha version. Hey, whoa. Shipping is free.
Okay. I'm looking at one. Free. I don't know which version this is. Okay, revised edition, Near Mint. I don't know which site it is, but $28.49.
Hey, why would you want that garbage? It's white-bordered.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, white-bordered is disgusting.
In cube, it doesn't matter if it's white border or not.
I would gladly pay that extra, 7,000% for my black borders.
Same.
Oh yeah. What do you guys think, Nathaniel, Zach? What do you guys think about Fast Bond?
I have no clue. I don't play Commander.
Doesn't even take me back to Commander. This takes me back to when I originally played the game back in '94.
I also want to iterate, if I'm using the right terminology here, that this podcast covers every format. We're not just Commander, by the way. It's the name's the Cryptic Commander, but we cover every format.
I guess I think this card deserves to go right into the trash bin.
Okay.
I look at the artwork.
How much strong opinion?
How much, Peddler? How much does this card cost?
$4,100.
$4,100 right into the trash can. Outside, let me get my PO box. Hold on.
G player.
I'll give you my PO box. Hold on.
It's the kind of artwork that like a parent would put on their refrigerator until the kid moves. out for college, and then by that time the sun has completely, you know, destroyed all the color in it, and the parent is finally like, it finally looks good because I can barely see it.
I gotta say though that the Vintage Masters art, it looks a bit more refined, kind of like the kid is actually taking some art classes. However, nothing against Mark Poole, but Niles Ham is hitting it.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Niles. Niles, if you're out there, you just need to know that you are the better artist of the Fast Bonders.
I got myself curious now. I'm trying to find it in Summer Magic.
I've had one experience with this card. It was my friend Ogre, which, you know, started out helping me with the podcast. And he pulled out this deck where he just took your turn, you know, with Mindslaver. And it's just some kind of infinite loop was going on. This card was in that deck. Just everything he could do, man, was taking control of your turn and killing you, going to the next person, taking control of their turn, killing you. You know, it was horrible. Horrible experience, but strong card.
By the way, the Fast Bond in the Summer Magic art is way, way better.
How much does it cost?
Oh, there's no price on this. Are you kidding me? It's Summer Magic. It probably costs like about $10,000-$15,000.
Right.
Isn't it the same art? Or is it just a coloring?
It's the saturation difference. Yeah, same saturation. Artwork, but the saturation is beautiful. It's how it's like supposed to look.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really good in Summer Magic. But yeah, I would guess it'd probably be like $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 card in Summer Magic.
For the fact that it costs one green and how strong it is for just one green, you know.
I could definitely see this at like, you know, now that you guys have been talking it up a little bit, I could definitely see it at like a middle schooler's like first art show, you know. Mark, if you're listening, you know, I hope that the 30 years or 25 years or whatever since you've painted this, you've gotten better, and I'm sure you have. So
it makes the best lands out there.
I literally have all five of the unhinged or unglued lands on my wall right now. So,
Did the unhinged?
Yeah.
Thing? Oh, those. Well,
Mark Poole's done a lot of artwork in this game, and we had, what was his name? The last artist we had on, because we've had a couple of artists on the podcast.
Solomon Young.
Yeah. Solomon. RK Post, I think, was the last.
Oh, yeah. That too.
So, yeah, RK Post, I asked him, you know, about the artwork and the digital art and this and that. He goes, you know what's coming back is the hand drawn art is what's coming back.
I think we should go all digital, all Hushbringer style artwork. I think that's really going to keep Magic alive.
I'm digging the cartoon artwork. Look at the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon one. I'm waiting on He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, I can definitely see that. That'd be all right.
It would go good in my cube. I make a He-Man cube.
A topless guy cube?
Yeah, absolutely. All
topless guys.
That'd be sweet.
With one, I did make a girl. With two clothed girls, right? You got the girl in He-Man, and on She-Ra also is a spinoff. So,
I did try one point to make a shirtless tribal commander deck with all pictures of dudes without shirts on.
Almost as good as the all mustache commander deck.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't there also a like all sitting commander deck?
Sounds right.
I mean, there's like a commander deck for all of everything, right?
That's right. You can have a commander deck just for doing everyone. Taxes.
There's a commander deck that is just a commander commanding the commanded.
Wow. Did you say mustache deck? Did you say mustache deck?
Yeah, it's all the cards have to have mustaches or a character with a mustache on them.
So I hope you get altered lands with guys with mustaches, right?
I didn't say I own the deck. I said I know it exists. You guys know my hatred of Commander.
I think Curious is going to come out a lot in this episode.
Aren't forests just the mustaches of the world, of the earth? So there you go.
I would agree with that statement.
We should move on to movers and shakers.
All right, movers and shakers for the cheaper pickups. These cards have been going down lately. First, starting off with Vendilion Clique, about $10.10, slowly trending down. After that, we got Cauldra Complete, slowly trending down about $8.09. And then a more recent card, Xanathar, Guild Kingpin, about $6.07. As far as the cards that are moving up, it's pretty much a tribal week. In third place is like three cards mentioned, pretty much anything having to do with werewolves, which is not really much of a surprise. They've got three cards listed here. Mayor of Averbrook, Duskwatch Recruiter, and Cruin Outlaw. They've all gone up about 80% on average. That's pretty much all in third spot. The second spot, Meat Hook Massacre, up 128%, about $45 right now. I had no idea this card was this expensive. I knew it was popular.
You said number two, right?
Number two is Meat Hook Massacre, yeah.
Wow, okay. I know this card's very strong. I didn't know it was going to be like $50 strong, but...
Yeah. It's a very good card.
Oh, yeah, I know it's good, right? Yeah.
And then number one, again, it's like a 3-4-5-way tie. Pretty much anything having to do with the zombies, which is, again, no surprise. They've got Gravecrawler, Rot Hulk, Plague Belcher, the Scarab God, which is not really a zombie, but it makes zombies, and, speaking of zombies, Undead Warchief. They're all... Undead Warchief is by far the number one, and they're up by 1,476%. This uncommon is about $13.
Now, hold on. I love Undead Warchief, but Noxious Ghoul is my favorite zombie in the whole wide world. Noxious Ghoul. When I saw Noxious Ghoul for the first time in action, we were just like, wait, this is stupid. You know, stupid good, you know. If you guys don't know what Noxious Ghoul is, Peddler, are you familiar with Noxious Ghoul?
Not at all.
I know you're familiar with Undead Warchief, right?
I mean, I'm looking at it on the chart.
So I'll go ahead and read off Noxious Ghoul. Hold on one second.
I got it pulled up if you want it.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Whenever Noxious was a three black, so five mana, zombie, of course, 3/3. Whenever Noxious Ghoul or another zombie enters the battlefield, all non-zombie creatures get -1/-1 until end of turn. This came from Allegiance, and now it's about $4 or $5 as an uncommon.
Yeah, so I'm surprised this one's not worth more than what it is.
I'm pretty sure this was like maybe $1 or $2 before. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't look it up on our normal statistics either, you know. But just knowing that Undead Warchief went up, case in point, this card, in my opinion, is stronger than Undead Warchief.
Yeah, but I think every zombie deck wants an Undead Warchief. It's absolutely just a generic.
Absolutely.
Your zombies cost less and they're stronger.
It goes back to, you know, because I'm an old school player, it goes back to something like Timberwatch Elf. You look at this card as an example where, you know, it costs 1 green, 2 other. It's a 1/2 body, I believe. You tap it and give any target creature +X/+X until the end of the turn for how many elves you control, I believe it is.
Yep, elves on a battlefield.
Okay, on the battlefield. So it's your opponents too, right? So yes. Some cards do this and some cards don't. But my point is, it was the go-to card for quick interaction in response to for that ability until they came out with Imperious Immaculate Magistrate, okay? Which almost did the same thing as Timberwatch, except for it was elves you control, but it gave you +1/+1 counters instead of an in-turn ability. So this right here, in my opinion, just like Immaculate Magistrate, it's better than Timberwatch Elf. So when you look at an elf deck, you're like, every deck needs a Timberwatch Elf until a point this card replaces it, right? And then the same case point here, when you're like, you know, every deck's going to want an Undead Warchief if you're playing zombies. Mm-hmm. Hey, if Uncle John's around, he'll be like, hey, it also needs Noxious Ghouls too, you know? So maybe everybody just didn't get the memo, you know?
I'm pretty sure other tribal cards are going up too. Like other humans, other... oh God, what are the other Innistrad tribes?
Well, Noxious Gearhawk's going up too.
Yeah, that's another... Is this a zombie? No, it's a construct.
I think it's... Let me look. You're right. Okay. But it is going up. But it is going up, though.
Are you thinking of Grave Titan, maybe?
I think it's Grave Titan, yeah. All the zombies are going to go up, though.
Yeah. But yeah, that is Movers and Shakers. And then moving over to arena updates. There's a bunch going on. I think the biggest thing would be the Find Your Champion, which the Worlds is coming up in a week from today. So in a week, we'll have a new world champion, or he's on the 9th or the 10th, but they'll be playing it that weekend, or next weekend, rather. And everyone has an opportunity to go to MagicTheGathering.com, find your champion thing, choose one of the 16 participants that you want to root for. Just pick any of them, type in your email address that's linked to your arena account, and the better your champion does, the more prizes you'll get. You're guaranteed to at least get one rare wild card. Or sorry, not a wild card, but a one rare card, whatever that may be. I got lucky last time, or I can say I was knowledgeable enough last time to pick Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa.
Yep.
He won it last time.
Yeah.
I picked my champion this time, Arnie, the German.
Okay.
We'll see if we can go for two for two.
I picked Autumn Burchette last time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to pick Paulo this time, though. And if somebody out there is listening doesn't know, Paulo's won a lot of current championships.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think everyone can agree that he's like top three best Magic players of all time.
I was going to say in the top 10, but yeah, top three is where I would really go with it. But yeah, to be on the safe side, you know, he's up there, guys, you know. So if you don't know who to pick for, if you don't know who to pick, go ahead. Yeah.
I just think the best player ever to exist in Magic the Gathering is mm-hmm. the first Mythic Invitational champion, Andrea Mengucci.
Mengu. Yep. Italian.
Who has just the most fantastic stream that I don't watch because it's in Italy time. and hates on American food, which is hilarious. Makes me giggle every time. And just has so much pizzazz. Like he's a little like he has so much energy in such a little tiny person. Like he's, you know, like he's a firecracker kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of guy I want backing me up in a fight because he'll really root me on. Yeah, exactly. But I think like the biggest beef I have, sorry, Zach, biggest beef I have with this is it just goes back to for someone who plays Arena like 40 hours a week or 20 to 40 hours a week, like you have to go to a different. You have to go to the website, put in your arena email, you know, the same email, like you said, and mm-hmm. and like it's one of those things that takes you out of Magic and video gaming in general. Like it's not like this is the first like company that has done something like this. Right now, PUBG's doing it, Valorant's doing it, League is doing it, like, and it's always in the game. And Magic the Gathering, Hasbro owned, probably has a little bit more money than some of these other companies. Yet, it's just, to me, it's just like a very silly trash system that that I would expect out of like a smaller game that I play, like an indie company.
You mean like a small indie company doing it?
Yeah.
Arena's held together by duct tape, bubblegum, and staples.
And I will say this too, hold on, that with Magic and all of its money, PUBG is still a by far better product, by far.
Yeah,
and it's like the world's smallest company, and PUBG is so good.
Yeah, and PUBG is not even as popular. anymore. Like, I mean, I just watched a tournament today because I really like the esports in that game, and, mm-hmm. and they are also really good at creating stories in esports. Like, you know, just, I mean, that's another thing that obviously Wizards doesn't understand, but
and quality control.
It's just so bizarre. Just so bizarre. Why? Like, I play Magic the Gathering, and I clicked on this while I was playing, and it popped up a website, and I said, I want to play Magic. You know, I want to do two things, very simple. You know, two clicks in the app, and then go and continue to play Magic. I don't have the desire to go to a website, click a thing, type my thing, and no matter how long it takes. So, I don't know. Okay. Swords, things kind of win.
I think I voted for Seth Manfield, because, like, he's always so chill. Always so chill and ready to go.
Go ahead with the arena updates, Onik.
Yeah. Quick Draft is up for Innistrad from the 1st to the 15th, and after that, from the 15th to the 29th, Quick Draft of Forgotten Realms. You got a few other events coming up. Like, the main thing is next weekend is the World Championship 27 Showcase. The 9th and 10th, you also got the Qualifier Weekend if you've previously qualified for the Mythic Invitational. On the 16th is the Arena Open Day 1, which is standard, which would be really interesting to see if the format shakes up with the World Championship. Maybe we'll get a ban, maybe not. I don't think so. That's really about it. Don't forget that Innistrad Crimson Vow is about a month and a half away. We're scheduled to release November 19th. And then after that, we have Innistrad Double Feature, which is scheduled to release around January 28th. Which is pretty much two sets in one. And yeah, that's pretty much it for arena updates.
I do want to let the listeners know that I was successful in getting a hold of Wizards of the Coast and having mm-hmm. them change my... Onik, you probably saw this, right?
Yes, I did.
Change my name on the bottom left-hand corner to The Cryptic Commander. So I'm looking forward to being on Twitch more and YouTube a little more with the arena games and helping people learn more. So be on the lookout for that. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from word from one of our sponsors, we're going to talk more with Nathaniel and Zach. We've got some questions for them. Be right back.